All right, what's going on, guys? Welcome, one and all, to another episode of Fire Builders Live. My name is Josh Corpel, and as always, I'm streaming live from Key West, Florida, surrounded by roosters from the porch. Today, I have an amazing guest. You guys are going to love him. I love him. Adam Pixler, welcome to the show, my man.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday to you too, sir. I can't wait to tell everybody what the hell you do, because it's really impressive. But first, before we get into that, let me explain to you guys how this show works, what to do. First of all, if you're watching right now, like, comment, share, let us know that you're here. Here's how Fire Builders works. We stream live Monday through Saturday, 6 days a week, and we bring on amazing people like Adam. We take big goals and we break them down into small steps, things that you can do every single day to improve. Today is no different. In fact, today is a special day, not just because it's Friday, right? But we're getting close to Black Friday. Amazon's a big deal with Black Friday, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, all about Amazon and the kind of mentality, Elvis agrees with me, the kind of mentality that you need to succeed wildly on Amazon. Adam is the perfect person to talk to about this. We've known each other now. In fact, how long have we worked it? Like 2 years, over 2 years?
Last month, I think, was 2 years. We started with our co-friend. October 2018, I believe.
So I have seen you in action since then, and it's been incredibly impressive. So let me tell you a little bit about what Adam does. First of all, your background is incredible. Korean language instructor living in Korea, South Korea. You were then a high school biology teacher, and now you are the operations manager at Profitable Pineapple Ads. And what you do is nuts. Like, you have the best results I've ever seen from people with Amazon. And that genius can be attributed, in my opinion, to having seen the world, having worked hard, taken risks, and designed this life that you control. I know that you and I have had plenty of conversations about that, and that's important to both of us. One thing that actually kind of, I think, sort of separates you from the rest of everybody that kind of does Amazon ads is that you guys have focused on the psychology of subscriptions and how to grow and profit through them. You've developed this system where your clients now profitably grow at just about every turn. You produce ads that are continuously yielding ROIs between 4 and 10, right? Yeah. Which is insane. If you are watching this and you are on Amazon and you're saying to yourself, that's impossible, well, listen to this episode, my friends, because it is part art, it's part science, but it's this mix of those two things that you have learned the hard way through traveling the world, experimenting, evaluating, and improving. And that, my friend, is why I'm excited to have you on the show. Adam, again, welcome to Fire Builders Live.
I'm so excited to be on here. I wasn't able to make it for season one, but now I'm on season two. We're in the hundreds now. We're in the three figure. I mean, I can't wait for when you get to the milestone of show 1,000, have a big reunion, have everybody on, have like little squares all the way across. It can make like a big chicken, everybody's different colors. Big mosaics.
I'll have to. At that point in time, I will have to hire somebody to follow Elvis around with a GoPro so that he can participate. Like, we'll say, we'll clip a little lav mic to him and he can participate.
That Elvis, I tell you, he's the biggest star of the show.
Elvis, man.
I love it because we got noise on both sides here. I've got Latin American noisy house here. You've got roosters, airplanes going over.
Speaking of that, tell me and tell everybody listening right now, where are you in the world and what's a typical day in Adam Pixler's life these days?
I'm in central Mexico. It's called Querétaro. It's about a 3-hour drive northwest of Mexico City. I've been here for 7.5 years and I fell in love with my Spanish professor from university, from Ohio State. While I was in Korea, she sent me a Facebook message and she's like, what are you doing in Korea? What are you doing over there? And, we started chatting and we started like a couple messages a week and then every day. And then Next thing we know, we're like live chatting. And the next thing we know, we brought on Skype. This is before Zoom. And then, you know, we're at 13, 14 hour time difference between the two countries. So when I'm waking up, she's going to bed and vice versa. So
you were telling me how well that works,
oh
right?
Gosh,
like it's just perfect.
So when you're on video and you're sitting with somebody, you get all of the color and animals and crap out of the way within the first week. And then after that, you really have deep conversations. And it's not just, oh, how was your day? Because if you talk twice a day, you already know how the day went, right? So you really get to know somebody. So we did that for 6 months. So then, you know, whatever we've been through as a couple and through having a very energetic young man running around the house, and both of our careers, we're very serious about our work. We love what we do. So we have that basis that, you know, if we fight, if we're having a good day, we're having a bad day, we're able to at some point sit down and have a full conversation about what's really bothering you. Like we had one yesterday and it was just great because it was communication. And when you can communicate with everything, everything works out. I mean, with our business, you know, with our clients, we're kind of like a little boutique agency, and we really want to stay that way, and we want to be like that for a while. It's because it's me and my really, really good friend, Dr. Travis Ziegler, and we brought on another guy as well. And it's just a couple of friends coming together, and then everybody goes through an application process. And we had one guy say, "What's your rates?" And it's like, well, yeah, it's let's first have a talk.
To make sure we like each other.
Yeah, let's see. You know? So we can work together. So, you know, let's have a call and let's check out your brand. Let's check out what you can do and so forth. And then, you know, communication is like, okay, well, expectations on both sides. And communication's huge, especially
and that's,
the first 6 months
that's,
of a client.
Yeah, I mean, that alone is what I think really differentiates you from anybody else out there. And I might be wrong, but tell me what you think about this. It's the world traveling. It's the experiences that you had. I'm sure, like when you went to Korea, did you speak Korean before you went, or did you learn there?
No, I learned like 10 phrases before I went. You know, just kind of pulled up like the common phrase. And then a friend of mine, she had bought me a common phrase book for Korean before I went. And she, you know, it's kind of like, because you know, the beautiful thing about Korea is, you know, people always ask, "Oh, was it North or South?" Of course, it was South. Come on. You know, I wasn't in the mood to go for a high labor camp, right? So, So I get there, and it's such a, you know, in Asian cultures, there's so much respect, and you say things the right way and stuff like that. So I was working at a restaurant on the weekends before I went, and there was a girl from Seoul in our restaurant, and I'm talking to her. I'm like, "Hey, I'm leaving in like a month." And she, you know, she taught me bowing and some of the phrases and stuff like that. And she's like, "Say it like this, don't say it like that." And so I had about like 10 or so. And then when you get there, you know, you kind of start learning some survival language, you know, restaurants and a couple numbers and left and right on a taxi, if you know where you're going. And then about 6 months in, I decided I was going to be coming to Mexico. So I was like, well, I'll start brushing up on my Spanish instead of learning more Korean. And then in Korea, I mean, they've had native English speakers in their country for the past 20 some years. Even the public schools bring in native English speakers to teach English at their school. So there's usually like,
because of the sense of perfection, like they want to not only understand the vocabulary and syntax, but also the pronunciation.
No, it's for, to have a good level across the board, because it's so competitive in Asia, and especially South Korea is kind of like that attitude, like, oh, I'm going to hang with you too, Japan, China, Taiwan, you know, those countries. Like I'm going to be right there with you. I mean, 12th largest economy in the world. And, you know, the country's like, you know, the size of Maine roughly, I mean, up to down six, but the great thing was communication, that we're going to be global competitors. We're going to be talking with international business people. We're going to be an international. So then they invested in that. So then there was always English. And then walking around, I love it. So there's something about Korean restaurants is that either the menu or along the wall, there's photos of every dish. like high definition photos. Yeah. So if you don't know what it is, you're like, oh, that looks good. I'll take that. Yeah. Yeah. One Hana, you know, and you just, you pick one and that's it. And they bring it out. And you're like, all right. Well,
good. Hana, do, set, net, do, set.
I don't know 4 or 5. You know more than you know. You're teaching me.
So. Well, dude, the reason that I bring up the like communication and the Korean thing is because you end up having to communicate with folks without the benefit of language a lot of times, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I think that does nothing but serve you well mm-hmm. when you're talking about selling on Amazon. Because at the end of the day, it is all about people still. Right. Even though it's in an automated process and, you know, you sometimes never even know your customer. You never see them face to face. How you treat them, the experience, and it all starts with the ads. Right. It's a personal human thing. And it requires like a really deep sense of communication skills.
Yeah. It's how are you going to communicate your product to the customer? You know, it's some of these chances for some products, you only get one shot because we work. I guess law of attraction. I'm a biology major. My business partner is an optometrist. So we kind of get together with a lot of supplement companies, doctors, that kind of wellness kind of area. So, you know, a lot of times with people that you take a supplement once, you feel good, you subscribe on it and you get. So you only get one chance for that acquisition. So it's, we always tell people before we get our ads up and running, it's like, okay, what are you telling? What are you? Fantastic photos. They're like, oh, no, the bullet points are great. I'm like, who reads those? I'm sorry, but I don't. I look at the photos, I look at the reviews, and that's it. I'm sold, right? So it's how you're telling your story.
Actually, now that you say that, I think I'm the exact same way. I can't remember the last thing that I bought on Amazon where I read through all of the bullet points and stuff. You're right. Like pictures, reviews, done.
Yeah. And then even with the title, I mean, I usually like after halfway the title, I'm like, okay. And then like I bought a new wallet yesterday. So then I'm looking through the photos and all of the photos had exactly all of the major points and benefits of it. And I was like, done. That's going to be it. But I was nice because they put their ads in the right place for when I was looking for that keyword for a zipper wallet. Having a 5-year-old running around, wallets flying, cards are going. So I'm like, okay, I'll zip it up.
Zipper. We need a zipper.
Yeah. Maybe an extra button as well. Right. So yeah, but it's like communication. It's okay. What are you telling really quick? Because you get that glimpse of that photo. Oh, that product looks good. I mean, I love wine. I'm a big wine drinker. I love it. Well, there's a couple hundred, I don't know, in the grocery store, or I go to the wine store and there's, you know, the whole wall and you're just kind of starting to look at things. And the wine store I really like to go to, they sort it by country and then they put the little flag there next to the price. And then you look just like Amazon, you look at the label, right? You know, you're looking at the glass or you're looking at the thing and it's like, okay, what's the drawing there? What's going to grab my attention really quick? Then I'll pick it up, turn it around and see, you know, where's it from? What's the story? But you got to get that attention. And I think that's huge. It's now that living in 3 different countries now in my life, it's marketing and advertising is pretty standard. It's like, how are you going to grab your attention? I mean, in Asia, you're walking down the street and things are on top of each other and there's big bright lights. There's a lot of awe factor. I mean, you're walking down the street and right next to the seafood restaurant, literally right next to the door is this huge aquarium. And that's take your pick. I mean, that's going to be dinner tonight, right?
That's the draw. Like the eye, your eye just is on there.
And yep. Then you go to the aquarium and you're like, okay, well, which one is really clean? What's a really clean one, right? Because someone that's kind of the gunk on the, you're like, next restaurant, right? So it goes back to advertising is how are you going to present your brand, present your product, and present, hey, you can do business with me. You can trust my product. You can trust the quality. And then with us and our agency, it's we do a 3-month trial period and it's, let's get to know each other. Let's see if our systems can work. Because we usually try not to bring on anybody that, like they don't have a brand built. We try not to get anybody below 50,000 a month in revenue, because from that zero to 50, they got to launch a couple products. They got to have some good products in place. They got to go through the growing pains. Whereas if we go through the growing pains with them, and that takes a year, year and a half to get up to 50K. So it's kind of like you get going, you get some momentum, and then we're going to put that nitrous booster on your car, and it's really going to get going, right? One of the big problems is people running out of stock, and even more this year, but I digress. But it all goes back to in our agency of, okay, this, we're going to be straightforward with you. We're going to tell you, hey, this is what we're going to focus on. We really try not to promise anything, because you never know with e-commerce. You know, this maybe something could happen with their product, or it's just not, you know, like for example, with taste, like with your friend, the foods powder, it tastes fantastic. Well, with consumables, it all goes down to taste. It's not so much the benefits. I mean, some people can't, like, you know, just suck it up for 10 seconds and have a bad taste in their mouth, even though it tastes, yeah, even though it benefits their body. Right. So
it's like so good for you, but yeah, that 10 seconds, if it doesn't taste good, not doing it.
Oh, it doesn't taste great. Doesn't have, you know, chocolate syrup and maple and sprinkles on top. And no, I'm not going to give you 5 stars, even though my body's getting huge benefits. But with the agency, we really work on setting the proper expectations, communicating with that, trying to get them to let us know what their pain points are, and then how we can work with them to get that done. And it's just kind of a process. Communication. Mm-hmm. Communication is the big basis. Yeah, a lot of times we'll bring on a new client and we'll be sending them an email or sending them questions, and they don't get back to us for days, or they'll never get back at all. So it's kind of like, okay, so this is a showing of how we're going to work together. It's like, I'm working with you, trying to work with you, not for you, not against you, you know? So we're trying to work with you. So we got to communicate, and that's huge.
Well, in all areas. In that communication, cause I feel like, just those little small things, those little small details, really reveal your priority as a business owner, right? If you, mm-hmm. Where you're going to focus your attention. And but have you found, though, I mean, especially with Amazon ads, right? I think a lot of people that are watching right now, they're, you know, they could be somewhat familiar. Everybody's heard of Facebook ads and Google ads and stuff. Is there any markable difference? Is that the right word? Is there any big difference between what you have seen with Facebook ads and Google ads and Amazon ads, or is the approach pretty much the same?
I've only looked at Facebook ads for maybe 1 or 2 weeks of my life. And after that, I just told my business partner, I was like, I need to focus on Amazon ads. And then I did some optimization for some Google ads with our agency for a year, year and a half. And what I found with Google is, it's that start of the funnel. You're getting clicks. You're trying to get people to your website. You're trying to get people to educate them on why to buy your product. Whereas I've really liked with Amazon ads that it's people are there to buy. So the sales process is so much faster. Like you can start ads today and within, you know, 12 to 24 hours, you're starting to get some impressions, which is every time somebody sees your product and ad when they're flipping up and down the page, getting clicks pretty quickly. If the algorithm likes you and you're able to get things quickly, and then you can scale things a little bit faster. Whereas when I was working with Google ads, it was okay, small changes here and there, a little bit of budget change. Whereas with Amazon, you can kind of go. Pause some ads, and then the ones that are working, you can just really put on the gas and can really get that going. But I've dealt with so much with Amazon ads that that's my laser focus is Amazon ads. So
well, what's interesting? So what? Okay, so what's interesting about it, I think, is that like you know, with Google, for instance, and well, particularly with Facebook, people are there to escape problems. Like they want to be entertained. They're just messing around. And that's when those ads show up. But with Amazon, do you find people aren't just browsing the way that they do on Facebook, where they're just hanging out on Amazon, watching videos and stuff. It's a very directed thing. Like if you're going on to Amazon, you're looking for something. So it depends
on the time of the year. For example, like with this, you know, everything's so crazy this year, as everybody knows, you know, Prime Day was in October. So from Labor Day weekend up until Prime Day or whenever they announced it, I think they announced it maybe like a month out or something like that. And, you know, that's when we kind of turned everything down, really down. And some clients are like, oh, things are slow. It's like, well, Prime Day is coming. People are looking to get a deal on Prime Day. They're not going to buy between now and then. They've bought all year already, so they have everything that they need. They want a deal. So it depends on the time of year when you can really hit the gas, especially. So for example, like right now, we mostly deal with supplement and consumables and wellness brands. So right now I'm kind of like antsy because it's people like, oh, you're getting ready for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And it's like, well, people don't really go on Black Friday. It's like, yeah, I'm going to buy a liquid vitamin. Woohoo. Yeah. Buy some omega-3.
Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah. You know, so I'm kind of looking at things, getting data, looking at things, getting data between now and then towards the end of December, we'll really start. Cause I'm really excited for January, New Year's resolutions, getting healthy and stuff like that. We are seeing a little bit of a boost in some areas with people kind of taking their wellness a little bit more serious. Because I mean, one of the big things is if you're overweight, out of shape, and you don't take care of yourself and you do get infected with COVID, it's, you know, the data has shown you're at more risk, right? So so things are kind of staying kind of consistent across the board. We do work with one brand, and they're they do great tasting things, and one of their new products is keto, and we're really good launches for September, October. So that's really, really good to see that people are taking it seriously, getting the keto snacks this time of year.
Instead of gorging on cookies and cakes and, you know, traditional holiday like food.
Whereas now you can have a keto crunch or a keto granola and it tastes fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it gets that sweet tooth out, but doesn't have all that extra junk in it. But as far as to answer your question with ads and the platform, I like it because with Google and my personal experience, was you had to go to two different things to kind of track your sales, where it's going, and so forth, to get the return on ad spend and so forth. But this was like a year ago, so I'm sure there's probably some things of tracking things better. But we were doing a step to our website to educate and then sending them to Amazon for our clients. And with that, you know, we had to do a couple different things with the data points and stuff. Whereas with Amazon, it's the Amazon ads platform and it's connected to all of that data. So you're able to see, okay, they clicked here. This is where they went and they bought it. And you're able to get the data pretty quickly. I mean, within 48 hours, it's pretty close. But they give you a 5-day attribution window, which means
that's what I was just going to ask.
If you click today, and you buy within 5 days, it counts for that ad for you, which is really nice.
Yep.
So we just try to track that over and over, and then like some of the major things that we focus on at Profitable Pineapple was my business partner has a very successful business that. They serve a community. It's great. And then when he was getting up and running and we were learning, I was learning, he was learning, his wife was learning, the whole team was learning that they brought on 3-4 agencies and the agencies had this attitude of bringing on over promise, under deliver, not follow up, not concerned that you're profitable week in, week out. Because that's the beautiful thing about e-commerce is that you get the data right now. So it's not like the next month, 2-3 weeks later, you sit down with your accountant. Oh, here's your profit and loss, right? So it's now we can get a really good idea week in, week out, of the data. So then that's why it's Profitable Pineapple. Profitable is that we don't only want to make sure that you're growing, but you're growing profitably, that you have that margin, especially the margin that you want. And then pineapple is, when there's apples everywhere, why not be a pineapple, right? I mean, we're a unique, little agency, then we really try to bring that value for our clients. Whereas some of the major ones in the thing is like, oh, we did a couple million in revenue last month. It's like, okay, but how are your clients doing? You know, how many did you lose, and so forth. So it's,
yeah, how much focused. You have to spend on like on trying to constantly find new clients, because they stay with you for a few months, they realize that you're meh, and then they go and find somebody else. Like,
yeah,
no, it's all about building those long term relationships, and you do that by being profitable. Yeah.
And also too, we look at our clients' numbers week in, week out. We always ask them on the onboarding process, what are your costs of goods for each product? So then we can put it into our software in-house to make sure that you are profitable, that you got that margin. What's your return on your ad spend? What do you want? And then we'll shoot for that one. Whereas some people say, oh, I did 100,000 on Amazon last month. Okay, well, what was your profit?
Yeah.
What was your margin? Like, how did you do? And it's still crazy. Like, I follow some other guys in this space, and they had a post yesterday, and it's a large company, and then they have somebody doing ads, and he goes, oh, man, look, you know, take a look at our ads. And he looked at it, and he did a screenshot, and he showed it to the community. He's like, guys, what? People don't know what they're doing with their ads. I mean, the average cost of sale was, which is a return on ad spend, was just horrible. I mean, the spend was out of whack, and this was an agency they were working with. It's kind of like, and we even met a guy 6 months ago, and the guy's first two Amazon businesses failed. So he started up an agency, and we were talking why did you decide to start an agency? I know it, but it's like,
do you?
no offense, but so it's, I'm not perfect. I'm not the guru. I've learned a lot of my stuff from courses that we've paid for, but you kind of talk to some people in the space, and it's kind of like, well, get some success on your own, and then take on other people and their brands.
Yeah, exactly. So one question that I love to ask people on this show, right, is you know, in order to get a little bit more successful with their Amazon, and let's say that they are not at 50K a month yet, right? They're getting there, but they're not quite there yet. What advice would you have? Here, I'll show you the question. What advice would you have if they just did one thing consistently, right, to start to build up that momentum, to start to get to that point, right? If you could think in your experience, is there one thing that you would suggest that they do on a regular, consistent basis to work themselves up to that 50K mark so that they can start working with you?
Well, the first thing is do something every day. Do something on your business every day that you can improve it. Learn something every day. I mean, my first 2-3 years of working on Amazon, I worked 7 days a week, and I've done this all with a little guy, and you know, my wife and I tried to do 50-50 with the little guy. So there were some times that I didn't have the time, but I had to make the time. It's like, do I want the life that I'm going to live? Or it's just going to putter out. So there were times that Sunday mornings I would go to the coffee shop and I'd work from, 8 to noon or 8 to 1. And that was just it. That was just part of the weekly family schedule. And then even on Saturday afternoons or something, I'll take an hour and just kind of learn something or brush up on something or make sure something's going right. Is that for your brand on Amazon or even in anything in e-commerce, I have found through my business partner and other things is that, do something every day, little by little by little. If you're going to read a book right now, read The Slight Edge. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to dig through the mountain, but you know what? One shovel at a time. I mean, you're not going to get to $50,000 or $100,000 a month overnight, Some people do because they're fantastic at building a community, like Marusha, that they build a raving community. It's just fantastic. Yeah. They just love it. And then they launch the first product and it's just like, boom, shakalaka, right? I mean, right. She's on fire with communities, right? So,
yeah.
So if you're going to do on Amazon, learn. Yeah, Sterling. It's a great book. I love it. I'm going to read it again in January.
Yep.
And it's do something day in, day out, day in, day out, and track your numbers week in, week out. Stay consistent little by little. So that's what I would say, because there's so many different things with Amazon. But first and foremost, solve a problem with your product. Solve a legit problem. And then from there, create your product. Don't skip on the quality. And then from there, just one day in, day out, keep learning. There's so much free YouTube videos and podcasts. But if you hear something, try to find something similar, just
to like validate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you got some people that have a YouTube channel and I've watched them like, well, what is your data? You're saying this, but there's no data. So run a test and then preach what you're doing.
Yeah.
One of the big communities that we learn in is Helium 10. And in Helium 10, it's the founder was writing apps and developing apps. And then he went into the Amazon side, and then they have a fantastic podcast in Helium 10. And then week in, week out, they're showing new tests. They create brands out of nowhere and then say, give you the true data and the numbers. And this is what's going in, run a test and see if it works from there. So I think that answers it, long story short. And you're frozen. Frozen there, Josh. Okay, we are currently frozen. I'm going to see message Josh to see if he's okay on his end with technology. Okay, guys. Yeah, I think he is freaking out right now, Sterling. Let's see here. One of those roosters must have pulled out the internet cord. Okay, thanks, Tara. Yeah, I got the little guy in the background doing some homeschooling right now. Let's see. Jordan here. Okay, let's see. Josh is freaking out. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell part of my personal story of why I got onto Amazon. Growing up in Southeast Michigan, my dad worked at General Motors factory, and 6 days a week, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And, you know, he put food on the table and stuff, but he wasn't around enough for me to really get to know him day in, day out. So, with that, when I decided to have a kid, I said, I'm going to have a kid that has a father that's around every day. So when he, let's see, Josh, nope, just lost all internet. Okay. Josh is rebooting now. Quick update. So when we decided to have a kid, I quit my day job. And then I started up learning Amazon from day one. Just a couple months after he was born, so that I could be at home with my son day in, day out. Such an important part of his life. So with that, it hasn't been easy, and you're starting up something from scratch, you know, to get to a level of salary that you want. You've got to rely on your partner. You got to be a team and so forth. And then the first couple of years were a little bit shaky, but I've been every day in, day out with the little guy. So that's fantastic. And then a couple of years ago, we started up our own brand. First products didn't work out well because our supplier had sent in another brand's product into Amazon. So then we got suspended there. And then our second product, our supplier sent it to a competitor and they just completely wiped us out with a lower price. So we then decided to start up the agency after a couple of years and launching my partner's brand in Europe. And then we continued to learn, and treat our clients just like our own business. And then now we've had this month is 3 years of having the agency and making sure we check the numbers week in, week out for all clients. And it's just great. Does anybody have any questions? Tara, Sterling, any Amazon questions before Josh hops back on? And Tara, I really love your comment here. Communication is so important in every aspect of human life. In today's world, people are getting savvy. They can tell if your communication is deceiving. Yes, that is true. You got to follow your gut, especially when you're trying to work with somebody. People are wanting to hear honesty. So good for your long-term reputation. Good stuff, Tara.
Are we still streaming? Holy crap. What the hell?
Yep, I told one
dude,
of the
reasons did you just hold down the show for like 5 minutes?
I did. I told people my story of why I got into Amazon and why I decided to quit my day job and why to be a stay-at-home parent with the little guy and the family. And
dude, you're the man.
Just rolled with it. So
you're awesome. Dude, we just completely lost all internet everywhere. Everything just shut down and the entire router and everything had to reboot. So I am so sorry to everybody at home, but man, you have it handled, dude. You got it under lockdown.
I got you, brother.
Dude, I totally agree. Last we were talking, it's all about, you know, just knowing your numbers, finding something to do every single day. I totally agree. And the one thing that I like to, now that we've said that, the one thing that actually I think is really interesting is this, right? How fast do you feel like people can progress if they simply do that one thing a day consistently for 30 days? Because as far as I know, they work in spurts, right? It's like tons of effort and then none for 5, 6, 7 days. And then they realize the pain of like not doing anything gets too great. They got to do much more. And then they trail off again. Instead, doing something small all the time, where do you think that would take people in 30 days?
Well, I've done both approaches. I've done the peaks and valleys. So my spouse, partner, we have an agreement that 2 afternoons, she's with the little guy, 2 afternoons, I get to work all. So, you know, I have a day that I'll work 12 or 14 hours, get a ton done. And then the next day I'm worn out. So then I'll just do a couple hours in the morning and then I go to bed early that night. And then I have a long day of 12 to 14 hours and I'll just work all day like a machine, you know, order food. I won't even mess with preparing my own food completely. You know, before the pandemic, I would go to a coffee shop and just spend the entire day. And then, I did that for years, for about 2 years. And then I started to say, okay, I'm exhausted by the weekend. So let's see how much we can get done every morning when the little guy's at school for 4 or 5 hours, right? And just little by little by little. So then I was getting refreshed in the afternoons. And then I was able to bring on some hobbies, which was getting me refreshed. And I was even more productive because I was very concentrated in those 4 or 5 hours, getting refreshed through a hobby. But then you're right. Some people will do a bunch one day and then the rest of the week, they'll just kind of spit her out, or they'll just be answering emails. Oh, I'm so busy. And then I always ask people, but were you productive? I was so busy. I was answering all of these emails and this, but were you productive? Did you do something to move the needle? Like one degree or little by little, right? So, and if you have a little bit of time, we'll use that time efficiently. Before you hop on, make the plan from the day before or beginning of the week. Okay, what do I want to get done by Friday? Or what do I want to get done by Thursday, right? You know, put together your week and say, okay, I'm going to put together this checklist for the week, what I need to get done, and little by little each day. And then if you're starting out, learn as much as you can. learn. So not when you're learning Amazon, I recommend not only doing action every day, but then to also learn as well. Like one of my favorite quotes, and I think this from the Slight Edge, is they asked Abraham Lincoln something about productivity, and he goes, "If you give me like 4 or 6 hours to chop down the tree, I'm going to take 3-4 hours sharpening the axe."
Yep.
And that really stuck with me. It's kind of like, oh wow, because like sometimes in the mornings, a lot of days I don't get started until 10 o'clock working. We wake up at 7:30 as a house. First hour and a half, you know, we're getting the little guy ready. We're making beds. We're exercising. We're taking him for a bike ride, getting him breakfast, cleaning up the house, getting ready for the day, getting ourselves prepared. And then next thing you know, at 9:30, 10 o'clock, it's kind of like, oh, crap, I need to stretch. I need to take care of myself, or I need to go for a walk, or I need to take the dogs for a walk. So then I'll start at 10. But then at that point, I'm at peace. I'm at ease. I've prepared the day. I've sharpened the axe. So now for the next 3-4 hours, I can just crank it out. I'm not thinking like, oh, God, I feel bad. I didn't walk the dogs today, or, oh, I didn't make the bed. No, make it. Do it. Do it now. Put yourself at peace, and then you can work.
Yep. Yeah.
If someone did this consistently for 30 days, where would they end up? They'd be a hell of a lot farther than they were in day zero. I tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, but you don't have to work like a dog every day. Work like a dog when you feel like you're good, because that days when you push it and you're tired, close the computer, walk away if something's not pressing, and take a break. So then when you get back to it, you're ready and you're refreshed. Mm-hmm. But little by little by little. I mean, in your area, Josh, if somebody did what you do every day for 30 days, where would they end up?
Do like the show, or
drinking
whiskey?
Drinking whiskey, playing with the roosters, chasing them around. I just picture Rocky, and I think there was Rocky 1 or 2 when he's chasing the rooster around, you know. So when you need cardio, you're like in between shows, you're like, okay, I'm going to chase the roosters around.
That's right. It's jump rope chasing roosters around. I totally vibe with that type of thing. I mean, there's so much that we want to get done in a day. You've got a lot of different responsibilities, and things are pulling you in different directions. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I've always found that it's like my day is surrounded by small little circles of little baby steps of things that I'm doing in all of these different directions. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make me feel like they cancel out and I'm not going anywhere. I'm just expanding, right? I'm expanding and expanding, and I'm doing it evenly. That to me is how, you know, it's how this show started. Like, same exact thing when you went to Korea. Like, you just went there knowing a couple of phrases, but knowing that you had to immerse and go.
And also, too, I'd like to tell the story. How are we doing on time?
Doing very well. Good. Yeah, we're good.
So, yeah. So here, I mean, the story for me to get to Korea and completely change my life around was, first, I had to get into a job that I hated, right? I loved it for a while, but after a couple of years, I was like, okay, I'm in the corporate ladder. I'm being super competitive with my coworkers to get that promotion. And then you get it, you get burned out. And then as soon as I was about to quit, they'd promote me again. You know, so it was, once I started getting promotions, I got promoted 3-4 times over like 1.5 to 2 years or so. And then I just said, screw this. I can't do this anymore. I got a new employee. We're the same age. Went out for a beer after work, getting to know him, because I was his manager at the time. And I was like, you know, we're the same age. You're just starting kind of like, starting out your business career and, you know, starting to, I was like, what have you been doing? He goes, well, my mom's German. And she taught me German, you know, my whole life. So he's like, I'm fluent in German. He goes, I always loved teaching. So he was got the scholarship through the U.S. government to go teach in Germany for 1 or 2. Went over there. I think it's the Heathman Fellowship or something like that.
Not sure.
Or something scholar. Or he went over to Germany, loved it. Got to see the world, see all of Europe, live life on his terms. And then after that, he's like, I'm not ready to come home yet. went to Korea for a year. He came back to Seattle looking for jobs, joined our team, and we're sitting there and he's telling me all about Korea, and I'm just, this light bulb just goes boom. Because I used to tutor. I tutored in high school and college for extra money on the side. So I was like, I love kids. My mom worked in special ed preschool for 26 years. I was like, I think I can do this. I'm good with kids. So I go, how did you do that? And he goes, well, first you're going to, you know, put together your CV down here in Mexico. Your resume. You put together your resume. And he goes, then you got to, here's my recruiter. Get a hold of her. And then from there, you kind of decide what part of the country you want to live in. Put together like a little YouTube video of you doing like a little sample lesson. But then also too, it's like you said, all of these little circles, and I'm not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. But you got to do it. So then it's ready, right? So I didn't have a passport yet. At that point, you could go to Canada with just your birth certificate. So I had to do all these little things. I had to pay off my car. So when I got the job, I could sell it and just go. I had to do that. And I had to line up, you know, getting the title after paying it off. And then I had to get my passport, which takes a couple of months. And then I had to do the FBI background check, which took 4 or 5 months. So it was kind of like, hurry up, wait, hurry up, wait, hurry up, wait. So then this was like six, 7 months of me doing this of, oh, hurry up, pay off your car as much as you can, save money, get it finished off, pay off that loan, take care of it, get it paid off. And then I had to go fight with the title office to say, it's not here yet. And then like, actually it's the loan. And then, you know, that was a couple of weeks, and then finally got it in the mail. And so then that was a win. I'm like, okay, I'm one step closer, right? Then I got the passport in the mail. Great. Oh, good. Then I finally got the FBI background check. Then as soon as I got it, within the same day, I had to send it off to get it apostilled and notarized, which for those of you who don't know what an apostille is, it's pretty much saying this document is legit. You can accept it in your country as well. So then I had to do that as well. So then next thing I know, I'm kind of waiting. And a lot of people go February, March, when their new school year in Korea starts in March. So that's when a lot of people go for the new school year. So I got all of these things, car paid off, passport. I'm starting to give things away. I got out of a lease, and I just went month to month with my friend. So then I had to put all of these things in motion. So then I'm driving home from work one night. It's just a beautiful day, middle of March in Seattle, just no rain, sunny, 60-some, 70. It was just gorgeous. Because if you're living in Seattle and it's raining and crappy, a beautiful day like that, you're just so grateful. Cool. So I'm driving home, and all of a sudden, my recruiter's calling me. I'm like, oh, Madeline Moon, huh? Hey. And she goes, you have an interview in 1 hour with the director of a school. 1 hour. I was like, huh? I had just sat down. I was drinking a beer, March Madness, watching my university play. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm ready. You know, so, you know, we have an hour and a half interview. And I tell them all about myself and my tutoring experience and my teaching experience and why I want to go to Korea. And also, too, I'm talking to a man from a completely different world and country. And, you know, they do conversations differently. So as I talk along, every sentence, he goes, and I'm just, you know, I'm super nervous, and like, he's doing all this. And he goes, when can you come? I go, as soon as you need me to. He goes, I want you here in 12 days. I want you to get rid of everything. And I want you to come in 12 days. At the end of this call, here's the number to the travel agent. They're going to book your flight. We'll see you in 12 days. I was like, and this is March 17th, 18th, and I was going to get there on March 30th. So he's like, I need you in here in 12 days. So then April 1st, you can start working. So I already had the car lined up. The next day I say, okay, I'm leaving this day. I'm going to drop off the car to you. Yeah. And then I had 12 days. So I went from all of my personal possessions over 5-6 years after university to down to two large duffel bags and a backpack and a computer bag. And that was my entire life, right? So to lead up to that point was like you're running a business. Okay, I got to set up my LLC. Oh, I got to get an accountant. I got to set a product. I got to get samples. I've got – so it's hurry up, wait, hurry up, wait, hurry up, wait. And that's kind of business thing. Just keep chipping away at it one day at a time. Keep getting that small steps, those checklists done.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, you're ready. Oh, great. Let's launch. Good. Everything's ready. Product's there. Everything's ready. Software's in place. Review system's in place. You know, customer service team is trained up. And
yeah, that's exactly right. Like Sterling says, you know, small steps made it possible for that big leap at the right time. You know, it sets you up if you put the effort in. And it's, you know, it's very much like this whole story of bamboo and how it takes so long to grow underneath the surface, and you never see any progress. But then as soon as it does start to grow, it grows like 10 times faster than any other plant on earth. But it's only because it set itself up. You know, it did the work underneath.
Yeah, living down here, some of the neighbors, they get bamboo, and then next thing you know, I mean, the leaves every day, all year round, just keep falling and falling and falling. So then the neighbor's like, okay, I can't do this. It's not only ruining my garden, but it's going to all of the other houses as well, right? So they can't get rid of it because it has that base. It has that base that they can't get rid of it. I mean, they got to remove the soil and just dig it out because it's got that fantastic base.
Yep.
So like with my relationship with my wife, yeah, we fight. We have hard days. We have great days. But we have that basis of communication, right? Like bamboo, he's got that base. With your business, oh, I've got a good product line. I got a good team. We follow the numbers. We have the systems in place. I mean, my business partner, Dr. Travis Ziegler, is a systems guru. He's like, okay, great. Oh, I'm going to learn it. We're going to learn it. We're going to put together a standard operating procedure. That's going to be our base. Trust the system little by little. Oh, it didn't work out. Why? Oh, we're looking at the numbers every week. We got the base. We're not just running around with our, you know, like a chicken with its head cut off. No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, man, I think that's the key. Dude, this is, I loved where this conversation has gone. Right, because we started talking out about Amazon, and then we went into all of this cool travel stuff, and then we looped it right back in to exactly what you need to succeed, not just in Amazon, but honestly, like everywhere, any business. Like,
I feel like it's Tommy Boy when he's Wayne's World, and Chris Farley is the security guard, and he's like, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, back up, you know?
yeah, exactly.
Talking with his hands, right?
well, dude, this. Honestly, this has been so good. Tell everybody how they can continue the conversation. How do we get in touch with you? Where are you living online?
Best way to contact me is Facebook Messenger. Just I'm in the link here, Adam Pixler. Friend me, send me a personal message. I'd be happy to sit down with you, talk with you, whatever you need. I not only have an agency, but at times I do take on some coaching clients to help out people or just a little bit of mentoring. Cause I've been very grateful for all of the people that have showed me their knowledge and taught me. And then I always try to pay it forward for other people to help out. So Facebook Messenger, if you're not there, send me an email, which is pixler22@gmail.com. So it's pixler22@gmail.com. That's the best way. And then if you can't get a hold of me, get a hold of Josh and he'll connect us.
That's right. So, that's right.
Yeah. So I love this show. I love connecting because it's when you talk to these people, they have different stories and different ways that they've gotten through. And it's almost the same thing. It's like they've had some adversity. They're resilient. They keep fighting little by little by little. The British gal that you had at the beginning of the week, I was listening to the intro.
Susie Parkus.
Yeah. I mean, she just didn't all of a sudden just, you know, get shout outs for huge clients and everything. No, she had to learn and she had to fight through it. You got to keep chipping away at it. I mean, I love all your mom's comments today in the show. I mean, your mom and and her life and raising children is one day at a time.
Yep.
Sometimes with little kids, it's 1 hour at a time, you know, and you got to just kind of chip away at it a little bit. Because when I had started out with Amazon and I was launching my business partner's brand in Europe, I mean, I was my life was in a storm. I was working for a startup company during the day. I was doing Amazon nights and weekends. And there was a lot of anxiety because it was like this big storm, right? But when I learned that to chip it away, like you're in the boat and you're rocking, just, okay, another row, and then next one, right? It's and that just continues to help. That's the biggest thing I can take away from people today is if you learn anything, just chip away at it little by little. Sterling gets it. Your mom gets it. So that's just chip away at it one thing at a time. Write it down if you got anxiety. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. Piece of paper or pull up your computer. Write down everything you got in your mind you're going to do and say, okay, which one's going to move the needle first, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, so this has been so good, dude. We've gone into some subjects and some things that you and I haven't even talked about. Like there's a couple of things that you mentioned. I never even knew that you did. So
you're going to have to watch the replay for the time when you were out and I took the show over.
I cannot wait to
see. I'm your co-host now. I'm the other guy on the sofa. Fire builders with Morty and Mindy. Every morning at 9 a.m. How's the traffic down there, Bob?
Oh, well, you know, the 405 is pretty backed up again. We got a car pulled over on the side.
Hey, sports with Tim. We could get a whole panel.
Dude, it's so, hold on. What people are commenting now. Oh man.
Lists are the best. Order of priority. Yes, they are, Lyndon.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They are. And Lyndon is one of the most productive people I know. She is unstoppable. So she's a powerhouse when it comes to that.
Sterling's in. Sterling buy a cowboy hat and a wig. Big mustache, and you can even bring that fantastic wife of yours in that photo, and you guys can be the husband-wife team, another area as well. Dude. I'm just thinking of Anchorman right now.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, you need to start your own show. You need to start your own show from Mexico.
After the quarantine, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't have the time right now.
Yeah.
Well, so it's crazy. Our schedule as a family, it's like, okay, whose turn is it? Okay, it's 10 o'clock. Okay, great. You're with the kid. Okay, great. Okay. My wife's like, I got a meeting. Okay, great. What are we doing? And we can, like in the morning, it's almost like, oh, fantastic, Sterling. I apologize. Because I think Sterling could go either way. Whoops.
No worries.
Dude, nice.
But honestly, this has been so good, Adam. It is always fantastic talking with you, man.
And I can't wait for the next episode I'm on in episode 275.
Oh, we'll do it. You will definitely be a return guest. And so I love everything. I love like just chip away at it, small things. That's what this show is all about. That's what Fire Builders is all about. So Adam, man, I know you're busy, dude. Thank you so much for the time. This has been great.
This was a pleasure. Thanks everybody for your comments. Joining. Everybody take care. Have a great weekend. Yeah. If you ever just want to reach out to me, reach out. We can just chat it up. Or even just be an accountability partner. So
there you go. There you go. Stuff. Dude.
But who needs an accountability partner when you got Fire Builders?
That's true. But you could always use, you can always use a dash of human humor as well. You know, like the, all that stuff. It just makes so much of a difference. So that's it, guys. Another episode wrapping up. Fire Builders Live. We stream 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Have great guests on like Adam. We break this stuff down. My mom loved the hour. Of course she did, right? Because not because I'm her son, but because Adam's so friggin' cool and funny. That's why. And I have spotty internet. So there you go. You know?
Florida.
Elvis chewed on the wires again.
I think he's just pulling the cord out.
Seriously, I need to put like a leash or a tracking bracelet on his foot.
We gotta get some little outfits for the roosters that can be running around. Now out on the meadow, we have an update from Elvis today. How's the pasture today, Elvis?
I love how that's how chickens sound in your head. How do they go?
Well, it's more like a hen. You know, hens. Hens are more like.
Oh, by the way, I will send you that video of what the chickens are saying, because that is a legitimate sound that they make when they're all calling each other to lay eggs. But we'll go into that later. That'll be like episode 2.
Oh man, this was great. Lyndon, pleasure meeting you.
Yes.
I love it. I'm gonna reach out to you, Lyndon. I'd be happy to connect. So keep it all rolling, even when you're poofed.
Yep. Yep.
Oh yeah.
All right.
All right, everybody.
So that's it. We're out. We're out. Another episode. Guys, thanks again. Adam, thanks again, man. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And we're out.
And we're out. So this is another episode. Guys, we will talk to you later. See ya. Bye.
Thanks for joining, everybody.